Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Kelly Show with PLR. This is PLR, and wow, I've got a creative list to go through that's going to make your head spin. Major upset in Wimbledon. Major upset. It's so much information, so little time, and free agency will continue to dominate the talk, the free agent, NBA free agency, because the big fish still isn't gone yet. People are killing the Knicks. Excuse me. Believe it or not, I'm not one of them. We'll get into all that tomorrow, lined up on the show already. We have the one only Ed Smith coming on Easy Sports Talk Radio, as well as CJ Holmes from The Athletic tomorrow. So we'll get more into that as well. But let's jump right in. Again, thank you for listening. This is PLR. This is The Cave Show. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Let them know that PLR sent you, like I said, get 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. They're located at 4991 South Alma School. That is Alma School in Chandler Heights, locally in Chandler. They're now serving beer and wine, plenty of televisions. Become a club member with a locker that backs up to a humidor. Again, let them know PLR sent you, get a 10% off of your cigar purchase. There are some rules that apply, but get down there and check them out. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Call-in number, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. All calls made via the Carry Lackey Law Line. A lot to talk about. Ring in. Do have a call on hold. Thank you for your patience. You are on The Cave Show, PLR. This is PLR. To whom am I speaking, please?
Hey, Paul, it's Lou. And, boy, what a week it's been. Well, just a few 24 hours it's been, too. Oof.
It's been really busy.
I mean, but it looks like the clear winners of the free agent Sweet Six so far happens to be, well, the Nets.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I want you to tell me why you believe that.
Well, as I was going through the notes last night, and boy, was I going through a lot. But just give me a second to get this down. Okay. As I said, if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you are going to love this, as they got KD, Kyrie Irving, and DeAndre Johnson. So
Jordan.
I think that one right there sums it up, that they are the clear winner so far in free agency.
You know what? I think they did well. I really do. I like the addition of DeAndre Jordan. I like the addition of Kyrie. But here's my question for you. I think KD is an incredible player, and here's why. In my intro, I said we keep saying the Knicks are losers, but
yeah.
I'm not ready to say that yet, and here's why. KD is 30 or 31, somewhere in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to miss an entire year of basketball with his Achilles. And even if he comes back, you know, in March or April, depending on their playoff position, he's not going to be KD at that point. And the last thing you want to do is rush. The last thing you want to do is rush him back, because what did we just see? And it's funny how our eyes and our memories can deceive us very easily. We saw Boogie Cousins come back, and he took his time in a situation where he wasn't rushed. They didn't force him back. He was able to ease into everything. And what happened the first round of playoffs? He tore his quad because his body was still overcompensating for the Achilles, and then he turned around and missed a whole bunch of time until the finals, and he comes out, he looked bad, then he looked good, but his body still wasn't ready for play, which means your body still needs a year. So then you come back off the Achilles after that year, your body is still easing into what it was. Now, I know KD wasn't, you know, an explosive player. He wasn't, you know, like a Westbrook explosive player, but he's still arguably the top player in the NBA, or at least the top three players in the NBA. When you punt on a season, if you're Brooklyn and you're basically punting on him playing this season, my question again arises. So next year, you're going to have DeAndre Jordan, you're going to have Kyrie Irving, you're going to have Caris LeVert, you're going to have players that can play. KD, like LeBron, like Kawhi, you put them anywhere, the team automatically becomes better. My question, though, is we don't know what KD we get the year two, when generally we're coming back off quads and coming off Achilles or ACLs, or like we saw Paul George with the ankle, like we just saw Gordon Hayward with the ankle. Even their second year back, they weren't back yet. So are we really talking KD back for not this season, next season, but we don't get the real KD for the next season, which is the third.
Now I get it.
At that age, he's 33. Now, would I have signed him if I were Brooklyn and I still had all these other pieces and I could get Kyrie and I can get Jordan? Yes, I would.
Yes.
But this then flips to what I was saying before about the Knicks. I don't blame the Knicks for not signing him. I really don't. And I saw Stephen A. with all the theatrics, and I see the New York Knicks fans throwing their hands in the air, and New York Knicks fans thinking that, you know, just because they play in the Garden, everything should be theirs. I understand all that. And I understand they signed 13 power forwards. I really do get all that. I do. But look at the contracts that they signed. Other than Julius Randle, everyone signed a 1 or 2 year deal. It's
right.
Not like when they went out and signed Amari and gave him 5 years. It wasn't like when they brought in Carmelo and gave him 4 or 5 years. These guys are on 1-2 year deals. And I think it's amazing that the Lakers go out and sign a bunch of guys on 1 year deals, and we go, you know, a lot of people said, oh, well, they should have got shooters, but, oh, well, they're only 1 year deals. The Lakers aren't going to be handicapped by the contract. The Knicks aren't handicapped by these contracts. And what you're basically saying is that we don't know. We don't want to roll the dice and punt on this season. No, don't know what next year is going to be like. And then the following year, at age going into 34, we get KD coming off of an Achilles. I don't blame the Knicks. I know everyone wants to call it a failure, and they didn't land this, they didn't land that, and I'm not a Knicks fan. So I'm not a Knicks apologist. I can understand why. Now, if KD's 25, heck yes, I sign him. If he's 28, sure. KD coming back at 33, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah. Yeah, 33 is like middle age in the NBA.
I just don't – look, we all know how great LeBron is. We also
– We do?
Those that are honest and real see LeBron James slowing down. We see that he can't just do what he used to do. We see his defense isn't what it used to be. We see this. Those of us that aren't on the LeBron James bandwagon and drink the Kool-Aid incessantly will admit that he's not who he was. But – And he's 34, going on 35. This is a make or break year for them. So I'm not ready to crucify the Knicks. I'm not ready to get on my Instagram.
I don't want
cry and whine and bemoan and all that. I don't think they did anything that logically a lot of teams wouldn't have done.
I don't mind. I'm not ready to crucify the Knicks, but you know, but the Knicks, but he turned down the Knicks because they weren't offering the max deal. If that would have been the case, they would have got KD.
You know what? I get it, but see, the whole thing is they want to Kyrie. If you really just look, okay, if 3 years ago I would have told you Kyrie, KD, and DeAndre Jordan would have went to the Nets, you would have laughed in my face.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They had
definitely.
No players. They had no picks. They had no nothing. But they fixed their roster. They got their picks back. They got a coach that can coach. They got GMs in place that know what they're doing. And they're doing well. They're a healthy team. If I'm now Kyrie and Jordan and KD, what is there with the Knicks right now that would make me want to go? If I'm Kyrie, I don't want to go play with right now a team that had the worst record in basketball with a young Kevin Knox, who I think just turned 19, and R.J. Barrett. That's it. I wouldn't go play there either. I don't think that's a knock on either piece. I really don't.
No.
I don't think it makes sense for them to go there. I don't think it makes sense for KD to go there by himself now and sit and wait for a year and a half while these other guys just try to learn how to mature, but they have no one to mature with. So
right.
I understand him going out and getting these other guys that are some, you know, maybe redundant positions, but can help maybe get these guys going in a certain direction. I have no problem with the Knicks. I really don't. And I think a lot of this is just talking about the Knicks in a negative way because, one, it gets you clicks, it gets you likes, it's really sensational, and it's really easy to pick on the Knicks. It's easy to pick on the Knicks. So
yeah, I know.
I just think it's much ado about nothing.
Hmm. That's true. But, okay, switching gears, coming up the month of June, it feels like it's still like Home Run Derby because another month where a record month of home runs were hit in the major leagues. What is going
on?
It's
killing baseball, Lou.
Yeah.
It really is.
I thought it'd be helping the game.
Huh?
I thought it'd be better for the game. I mean, isn't what the fans want?
But the fans also want to see some baseball. I'm going to ask you because you're a baseball fan,
right?
Is it more exciting getting a guy on first and having him just stand there and wait for a two-run homer, or was it more exciting to watch a guy like Tim Raines or Willie Henderson or Ozzie Smith or Tommy Herr get on, steal second, you know, create? Put pressure on the pitcher, come around and score. Is that more fun? Is it fun watching every time a left-handed batter come up, the third baseman's playing shortstop, and that left-handed batter refuses to put the bunt down? Is it really more fun? I mean, I cover baseball. I cover the D-backs. And I was covering a game last week, and I was sitting there thinking, you know what, I saw Cody Bellinger smack a home run, and I think that ball is still – fly.
Yeah.
But there were three other people in that lineup that came on. The guy that hit before him, I can't think of who it was right now. I'm like, why don't you just bunt? There's a shift on. Your job is to hit 50 home runs this year. Instead, he hits it to right into the shift. The next guy up is Cody Bellinger, and he bangs a 1,400-foot home run. If the guy before just lays down a bunt, that's now a two-run homer instead of a one-run homer. And I think analytics is stifling baseball because everyone now is a home run hitter. Do you remember when we were a kid and Dave Kingman, I don't know if you remember the name, but he struck out 200 times in a season. George Foster with the Mets, I think, struck out 160 or and people were like, oh, my God. Ooh,
right.
That's a lot of strikeouts.
Yes, I remember that.
Now it's oh, well, he struck out 200 times, but he hit, 40 home runs? Oh, we'll take that. Why? And do you realize with the way baseball is played today with launch angles and everything else, Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, we wouldn't even see those hitters.
No. Which brings up the question is, are the balls being a little different? Are they being juiced up again like they well, we had the controversy 25 years ago? Are we going back to that?
See, I don't want to say the balls are juiced up. I just think everyone up there is big game hunting. You know what? Here's what I compare it to, or to use an old phrase, here's what I liken it to. Say you're a salesperson at a business, and you can sell, you're selling accounts. You could sell four $25 accounts and be fine, but you don't want to sell $25 accounts. You're going to wait to sell the $100 account at one shot, so that way you don't have to do it. So that's basically what I think baseball has turned into, and I think a lot of it has been because analytics are crazy. There are stories of general managers calling down to managers, telling them analytically when to pull people, when to put people in. Look, a GM is a manager's boss. If he feels that's what he has to do, then go for it. But what happened to, you know what, this player is just a better player. I trust this player in this situation more than I trust this player in this situation. Analytically or not, I know what I want. Analytically, there are guys in the NBA that are better players analytically. But you know what? I would rather give the ball to Vernon Maxwell with under 15 seconds to go than James Harden. And analytically, James Harden is a better basketball player. My eyes tell me he's a better basketball player. But what I've seen with my eyes tell me Vernon Maxwell isn't going to run away from old school Vernon Maxwell isn't running away from that shot. So analytics to me get in the way. And because of that, baseball is really having a real problem on so many levels. Lou, the majority of people that watch baseball are white men over the age of 50. You can't. That's a bad business model. Not saying it's bad and that is something bad with old white men watching baseball, but eventually that market is going to leave you. You have to have a different market. When you look at Samsung wants to have phones that sell to older people because they have money, but the technology that goes in Samsung isn't for 60-year-old people. It's for 20-year-olds. It's for 18-year-olds. It's for 17-year-olds. They're looking for what's coming later. Everything is set up for later. Football taking crazy hits off the game, it isn't for the 60-year-olds or the 50-year-olds that go, oh, whatever happened to Jacked Up. It's preparing itself because we have a bunch of soccer moms out there saying, I'd rather have my kids play soccer than to play football. And football knows if they don't get that target audience in 30 years, they're going to lose players to soccer, not playing football. You got to target your game. And if you look at the game now, Lou, most of your players are slowly, more and more and more coming from overseas or in the Caribbean. Baseball isn't like it was when we were a kid. It's not the same. Because you can't, if I'm 16 and I can play any other sport, if I go play football for 2-3 years, I go to college, I get an education, guess what? I come out, I get a check. Play basketball, go to college for 1 year, guess what? I come out and get a check. I play baseball, I got to go play in like Boomtown, Alabama and ride a bus for $9,000 a year and hope that I get in the system that'll move me up. Why?
Yeah.
So baseball has to figure out a way. And like I said, they do a lot of crazy things. Look, think about it. Rob Manfred punted on netting. I'm a big fan. Mm-hmm. I think catching fly balls are great. Foul balls is fun. But that netting nowadays should extend further than it does. And how many people have to get hit in the head before it does? And this is another example to me why baseball is so out of touch.
Exactly. Especially when that fan blew up for the Cubs yesterday. That putts.
Case in point, my friend.
Yeah. He thought it was foul, went fair, like, uh-oh. And it's happened four other times this year.
Put the netting up. For Rob Manfred to say it's up to teams and We're going to have to figure out a way to utilize over the All-Star. Over the All-Star break, there are going to be four teams that are going to extend the netting over the All-Star break.
Yeah.
So four teams can do it. 16 other teams can't.
They should.
I mean, just because you put the disclaimer on the ticket, MLB is not responsible for yada yada. Just because you put that on the ticket, look, those balls come screaming. You know what I advocate? I think anyone under the age of four should not sit anywhere but the outfield.
Right. But I'm jealous about the fan who caused the Cubs a game yesterday for fan interference. Come on.
Well,
I mean,
they
got to do something about that, too.
Yeah, they do. And that's a byproduct of what's going on. And I understand. If you reach onto the field, you should be escorted out. You should not. Look, here's what I don't understand. The balls that are foul balls that you catch, they're not worth more than the balls you could buy at the fan shop. They don't mean any more. So I don't get why people kill themselves or are upset over catching a foul ball. So you catch a foul ball, so you get 6 seconds on TV, and if anybody's watching that knows you, they may catch you. I don't get that.
And it's always been people have always wanted to catch a foul ball for years. I mean, it's part of the game. People have always wanted to do that.
And I get it, but I don't want to catch a foul ball at the expense of my safety. You know,
I agree with that.
In the
you got me there.
In the press box? Yes, in the press box, balls come screaming up there all the time. All the time. We are always looking out for foul balls. Just Thursday, one came flying up there. There was a young lady that got hit in the head and the face with the foul ball and had a nice little hematoma growing on her forehead the next couple of days.
I heard.
In Arizona, this is about 3-4 years back. Fortunately, she was fine. It was nothing serious, all that stuff. But you got to pay attention in the press box. Now, if we're in the press box, we know that. But you know what else we are in the press box? We're all adults. There are no kids in that press box.
Right.
So, and we're all prepared. We all look up when the ball is hit to track the ball. There's a big difference than being on the third baseline or the first baseline when that ball is hit and it's coming at you hard and fast.
Duck.
It's leaving the bat at 90 miles per hour, and that distance isn't that great. People, we got to really stop and think.
Yeah.
We have to.
Duck.
So.
That's what I do.
Yep. I like sitting in the outfield.
Right. You say Ed Smith's coming on, right?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow I have Ed
tomorrow.
CJ.
I thought it was today. My fault.
Yep, tomorrow I have Ed and CJ.
Well, tomorrow I'll be concentrating on the Women's World Cup game against England. Mm-hmm.
I know, can't wait. Honestly, I can't
yeah.
wait.
Yeah, and on the other side, I know that it's less prestigious, but the men's team reached the semis in the Gold Cup.
That's what I hear. That's
yeah.
good. That's good stuff.
Wednesday.
That's good stuff.
And this used to, and they used to say this was the quiet part of the sports year. Not anymore.
Not anymore. Not anymore. It's all the way through now.
Thank goodness. But I've had a lot to cover within the last day alone with the NBA free agent frenzy, and there's still more to come. So I'll be keeping my eye on this all week.
All right, buddy. Well, hopefully
talk about your fireworks.
Hopefully you're able to catch up with us. And speaking of which, we are doing best of shows Thursday and Friday.
No, really? I never would have guessed.
That's the way it goes, my man.
I thought so.
All right, buddy.
All right, Paul, thanks.
All right, thanks, Lou. Good friend of the program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. I do want to go over some of the moves, NBA moves, that were made over the weekend. Again, I'm not beating up the Knicks. I'm really not. And I'm going to be interested to see what C.J. Holmes and Ed Smith say to me tomorrow, but I'm not beating up the Knicks. So here's my question for you. So we know the Lakers are putting all their eggs in the Kawhi Leonard basket. Part of me says, good move, go for it. part of me, if I'm a Laker fan, I'm starting to get just a little bit worried. Because if Kawhi doesn't sign, we heard it all. Well, they'll just bring back Reggie Bullock. Well, they'll just go out and get Seth Curry. Well, they'll just go out and get Danny Green. Well, they'll just go out and get this person. These people are signing. Seth Curry just signed a deal with the Dallas Mavericks. Reggie Bullock signed a deal with the Washington Wizards. And as I start to look at some of these shooters around here, Austin Rivers re-signed with the Houston Rockets. Like I said, Reggie Bullock went to the Knicks. Now, they did sign, the Lakers reportedly are signing Troy Daniels. Good for Troy. Troy's a good dude. Troy's a really good dude. I had the privilege of speaking to him a lot over the last couple of years that he was with Phoenix. And it made sense for him to move on. And happy that he ended up there. But you got guys like Corey Joseph going to the Kings. George Hill re-signing with the Bucks. Brogdon moving over to Indiana. You're starting to get left with certain guys out there, and they're not shooters. Rajon Rondo is still out there. Jabari Parker is still out there. Enes Kanter, if they wanted a big to play alongside AD, he's already signed with Boston. Willie Cauley-Stein is out there as a big that could play. Possibly Bobby Portis moved over to the Knicks again. Not one of the people that I'm going to crucify Knicks for signing. Darren Collison. Oh, we'll get Darren Collison. Darren Collison retired. Maybe a Wesley Matthews who's still out there. Kelly Oubre is a restricted free agent. So there's a lot out there. Nikola Mirotic, shooter, but guess what? He's going back to Europe to play. The Morris brothers are out there. We'll just get Bojan Bojanovic. Guess what? He's a Jazz. And I'm hearing some people knock what Golden State did. I'm definitely not one of them. Look, I love Andre Iguodala. I really do. And come playoff time, he is a very valuable piece. Very, very valuable piece. But I would have moved him, too, to get D'Angelo Russell. I would have moved him, too, to make the room for D'Angelo Russell. And if you say that you wouldn't, I'm going to ask you to tell me why wouldn't you? We know what Andre Iguodala can do. We've seen him do it. We've seen him be an MVP of the NBA Finals. We've seen him make big plays. We've seen him talk to his hands. We've seen all. But at the same time, he's not playing the games that he used to play. He's not the player that he used to be for a full season. Andre Iguodala played 68 games last year. And I know you can't just look at his points and all that, but listen. You're losing points. You've got to replace points. And Andre Iguodala at his age is not going to give you that right now. You're down Klay Thompson at least until February. At least until February. KD is gone. You're basically giving up about 45 to 48 points a game. Andre's not going to give you that. He's not going to help give you that. Think about Andre's offense during the finals. Yes, he had a couple good games, but he also had four clunker games. And no, he is not going to stick with the Memphis Grizzlies. But you're talking about moving a guy that's 35 years old and bringing in a guy that's 23 that was coming off of an all-star year last year. I can't tell you that I would have done the exact same thing. Because I absolutely would have. There comes a point where you have to transition your franchise into something. And if you're not going to bring back Durant because he didn't want to come back, you want to bring back some of your other pieces, you got to do the move forward step. And me on KD, go do what makes you happy. Finally, do something that you want, make yourself happy. I just don't know if I can leave $57 million on the table. I don't care how rich you are. I just don't know if I can leave $57 million on the table. That's a lot of loot to walk away from. But the big shoe that we're still waiting to drop, the big shoe is Kawhi. And here's my question. If the Lakers sign Kawhi, why is not coming to the Lakers for $25 million? Why is not coming to the Lakers for $26 million? He's not coming to the Lakers for $19 million. This isn't Miami where everyone took the haircut and stayed around $14, $15, $16 million. He's not doing that. And I know you may have the best four players going for any one team if you have Kuz and LeBron and AD and Kawhi, and you can do your load management stuff all over the place. But here's my question to you. What's the rest of your roster? Kawhi played 60 games last year. LeBron missed a bunch. He played 50-something. AD, I know his situation was different, but he still hasn't played over 75. And this concept of get them all ready, let them rest, and then when the playoffs hit, boom, spring it on you, you won't be able to beat us. You know there's this crazy thing called chemistry that you got to build. And even though I think that, yes, you can load manage them, this isn't the East back in the day. You've got to get in the playoffs. You've got to play enough games to qualify you to get to the playoffs. And if you're load managing Kawhi for 22 and LeBron for 6 or 7 and AD for 6 or 7, you got to hope those other 48 games are all wins. And hope that someone else is going to fall off. And my question to you is, who falls out? By picking up D'Angelo Russell, the Warriors aren't going from the top spot to the ninth spot. Just because Denver didn't make a big, quote-unquote, free agent splash, they did re-sign Jamal Murray to his extension. Denver's going to be okay, and they're going to have another year of maturity. So you got Golden State, got Denver, Utah got better. Donovich and Conley, they got better. We can watch all the infighting we want with Houston, all you want. They're going to score enough points on enough nights to get in the playoffs. Oh, OKC, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Only a fool would think, as long as Westbrook and George and Steven Adams are healthy, that they're not getting in the playoffs. Because night in and night out, they're going to be enough teams to get in the playoffs. That's fine. Portland. Just traded for Whiteside. You may think I'm crazy. I think that's going to help them immensely until their bigs get healthy. That's six. These are spots that are taken already by other teams. The Clippers and San Antonio are your two, I don't knows. But if Kawhi chooses the Clippers over L.A., I think the Clippers get in. I don't think the Clippers are going to sneak up on anybody next year. If I had to say a team that would be out, I would say it was the Clippers. And I think San Antonio would be a close second. I know they have great players, but I also think they're a beatable team. We'll see. We're going to talk so much more basketball as this week goes on. Because, like I said, there's still some shoes that have to drop. But, wow. Sometimes that's all you can say. It's just, wow. Let's pay a couple bills.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
So we saw something today that was truly, truly amazing. Now, if you know anything about me, you know that I'm a big tennis fan. Love tennis. And I have a dream one day to not just go to Wimbledon, but to cover the Wimbledon tournament. So when you look around and you see an up-and-comer like Osaka a couple years ago winning her first tournament, things like that, they really, really make you go, wow, that's really cool. When you see people like Yulia Putseva, who upset Naomi Osaka, who was upsetting people a couple years ago, you really say, wow. But when you see a 15-year-old and Corey Goff defeat 5-time Wimbledon champion in the first round, Venus Williams, who's 24 years younger, it makes you think, wow, not only is tennis in a good spot, but American tennis is in a great spot. And there's going to be a lot of good tennis left to come. We'll keep you up to date. Serena plays tomorrow. She has a tough draw. Kerber's in her draw. Kerber ousted her last year. So we'll get more into tennis. I won't give you every update like I am doing with the NBA and all that stuff, but very interesting. Very good to see. I am a tennis buff, and you like to see the young kids come in and make that next move. Because, look, Venus, she will be ready for U.S. Open. But we got to be real and we got to be honest. Venus 39. There aren't too many more Wimbledons. There aren't too many U.S. Opens in the cards for her. But what a classy woman. What a classy lady. And it was good to see the way that that went down. Like I said, tomorrow we have CJ Holmes, we have Ed Smith joining us. Looking forward to that and catching up with them with all this going on. And I got some baseball stuff for Ed Smith because, as you know, he was a professional MLB player as well. Thank you for joining us. Stay on the Cave Show with PLR. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. It is always fun to do this show. It is always fun to catch up with everyone. Make sure you're following us on social media at the Sports Cave, Caves with a K, on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And you can go to thesportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with a K. You get us checked out. You can get me directly at PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Until tomorrow. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Everyone have a great rest of your day.